Hey, this is Mike. Welcome to Eagle and Vice, episode 130. Wow, 130. What an even number. I've always been a little partial to odd numbers. For some reason, they make me more comfortable. Anyway, today on the podcast, I have Sheehan and Kyle from the local band, the Tenenbaums. Let's get into it.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.
Hey, we're back. This is Mike. This is Eagle and Vice, episode 130. As promised in the intro, I have two members from the local band, the Tenenbaums, here. I have Sheehan and I have Kyle. What's going on?
Not much.
Nothing much at all.
Cool. Yeah, we had a little mic problem that no one will ever know about. And this is the very first time we've done this, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, very good, very good. Show business, folks. It's show business. So, the Tenenbaums. Like I said, super busy. I took some time off over the Christmas holiday, after the Christmas holiday, and then I just started booking bands in. And I got a hold of you guys maybe like a month or so ago, and we don't know each other very well, but during our conversations off of the mic, I think we've all seen each other, maybe even played each other.
Yeah, I think
Played together.
played in some
together
regard.
In our bands, in our respected bands.
Yep.
So let's talk about the Tenenbaums a little bit.
Okay.
what would I like to know? Well, I was doing a little bit of research on you guys, and as far as I could go back was maybe 2013. Does that work as a timeline?
Yeah. On the way over here, we were both saying we're not really good with years.
No.
I don't know exactly when we first started jamming, but we would have first recorded at our parents' house. Kyle and I are brothers, as I was saying before, and Alex was Kyle's high school friend or middle school friend. When did you meet Alex? Grade 7?
Yeah, in grade 7.
My first band ever was with Alex and another friend of ours, and then we were jamming with a guy, Cam, who's in a band called Wine Lips now, and he couldn't come to a jam one time, and so we played some songs I wrote, and that was, I think I was in high school still, so it would have been like 2011 or 2010.
Yeah, long time ago.
Yeah.
Cool. And Alex, unfortunately, can't be here. You're a three-piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what do you two do in the band?
I play guitar and sing.
And I play bass and sing, too. Okay.
And have you two ever been in a band together, now that you're brothers?
We're in many bands together.
Yeah, quite a few.
Yeah.
Like before Tenenbaums?
I don't think
Well,
so.
Well, I guess technically that one with Cam, but we only played like one show. What was that thing the radio station used to do? It was like a battle of the bands.
The Big Money Show?
Yeah, we played a show. That was our only show. We were called Don Grande. It sounded like Weezer, kind of.
Okay.
And that was our first band together. And then for a while, we had a band that never saw the light of day where I was playing drums and singing and you were playing guitar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't even think we had a name.
No, I don't think so. We mostly just had like one song we played every night.
Yeah.
being musicians and brothers, I have a feeling, and I've noticed in the past whenever I've run into this situation, and I have before, like Out by Lucy have brothers in the band.
Oh, okay, we played with them actually.
Yeah. Just recently.
Yeah.
You guys probably play multiple instruments each. How did you decide on what to do whenever you were in bands together? Well, and I'm just still throwing that out there.
When we first got guitars, I think I was in grade 6 and you were in grade like 7 or 8 or whatever.
I think so, yeah.
And I got a bass and he got a guitar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm actually primarily a guitar player.
Yeah. I think honestly with this, it was just that I had played the songs with Alex on drums and you came out and grabbed a bass.
Yeah, probably. It's something organic.
For the first like 5 years of our band, you used my bass.
Yeah.
So I don't even think you had one.
No, I didn't. But I love playing bass, so it works out well.
Yeah, I think it just naturally happened.
I think it kind of worked out well, too, because I also would be playing a lot with Alex. And usually when we would jam, it would be guitar, but just kind of worked out as a good rhythm section sort of thing that we had a thing that we were doing that sort of translated well to bass and drums. And then we'd take Shane's songs and...
Yeah, and I think because I was writing the songs on acoustic guitar, it was kind of like I would just picked up the guitar and played mostly just chords. Mm-hmm. Over time, it's kind of changed a lot, and now there's more like riffs, but the first few songs were like almost like folky tunes turned into punk. Not folk punk, not like playing a banjo really bad and a dog with a bandana on, but like like folky punk.
That's like my favorite band.
Me too.
It's like Dog Banna.
When you were younger, obviously at some point, as brothers, you lived under the same roof.
Yeah.
Maybe you still do.
No.
Oh, okay.
We did for a little
we
bit.
We have a few different times though.
Yeah.
And how was the, dynamic as kids? Did you play music? Did you like, where did it come from? Did you come from a musical background, musical household?
Yeah. Our older brother was in a lot of bands too, actually. He was in, most recently, a band that was called Snatchback. You might know some of the guys that were in that band.
Sounds familiar, yeah.
I can't remember their full names right now.
Me neither, but...
Steve and Ben. Ben was like a really tall guy.
Played guitar and did sound and stuff, too.
Yeah, and
Steve Sinclair.
Sinclair, yeah.
He was in a band that was kind of like Good Riddance style, kind of punk, like that.
They
Fat
both
Records
were.
Punk.
They both went on to another band.
Sidelines.
Sidelines.
Oh,
was
yeah,
the,
okay.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. They're probably on the wall down here somewhere.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. There's a lot of things to look at on the wall. So
anyways, but yeah, so he played a lot of music whenever we were growing up. He's 10 years older than me, so like 12 or 11 years older than Sheesh. And both our sisters play music too, and our parents both play a little bit of music. So
it's a big family.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Our brother Jay, though, definitely influenced, like he showed us like Megadeth and like Lagwagon and stuff like that when I was in like grade 2. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
it was like,
totally.
I didn't really know what it was, but it was like, oh, that sounds cool. And then when we got older, I played in bands where he would drum because our drummer wouldn't show up and stuff like that when he was living at our parents. And then, yeah, he definitely got us into, like he showed me the first chords on a guitar kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And he like gave me my first amp. Like actual amp that I could use playing with other people instead of like a little practice amp. And
can you remember before like Megadeth was injected into your life? Can you remember like old songs that were playing in the household when we were just kids? That you know those nostalgic moments. Because when I think about that when I was a little kid, I still hear the Eagles. I can close my eyes and think of being a kid and I hear the Eagles.
Well, our mom still does this, but she used to like blast music and like clean the house or do something, but like really, really loud. And I can just picture like, I don't know, like the Cranberries comes to mind, but our sisters also liked that band a lot.
Yeah. They played a
Stan
lot.
Stan Rogers.
Yeah. Like folky music and like Celtic music too, which I play a lot of that now as well. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of interesting to look back. But honestly, I don't think we really remember a time where we didn't know like Megadeth and Lagwagon.
Yeah.
Our brother and sisters were listening to that stuff all the time. So it's kind of funny. We probably got as much of the folky stuff and the other stuff.
I think that's definitely like I don't want to call it like a common thread, but it's a natural thing. Because when I was a kid, I have an older sister, and I just listened to what she listened to.
Yeah,
I thought
exactly.
That was the thing. And then you eventually kind of branch off and you find your own path.
Yeah, sure.
But some of that music to me, I remember like Corey Hart. She used to love like the old Canadian.
Okay.
Corey Hart and Bryan Adams and like Platinum Blonde and Honeymoon Sweet.
Yeah.
And that stuff, I still listen to that stuff. I think there was a time in my life where I was like, I don't listen to that
But
crap.
You did.
but deep down inside, that's like the roots of where it all started,
totally,
right?
Totally.
So.
Yeah, I mean, our parents were like definitely into like the kind of like folk revival-y kind of stuff. But then our dad got like really into like he's a pretty big music lover. Like he had this like Delta blues phase where he was like obsessed with the blues. And then like, he's kind of gone through phases that I got him listening to the Weaker Thans and he really liked them. Mm. But our parents were kind of more into that stuff, but like they've come out to our shows and they like, our mom saw the Ramones.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. She showed me the Clash. I remember like talking to our brother Jay about like Lagwagon and all these bands. And my mom was like, well, if you like those, you should listen to this old stuff, like the Sex Pistols and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a reverse of how most people would do it. But yeah, Propagandhi's first album.
Yeah.
How to Clean Everything is like stuck in my memory as a kid.
Same.
Our sisters liked it a lot too. And I think it was like, it was a big album for that era, but I think like our whole family kind of loves that album. So yeah,
it's pretty amazing how like the music that we grow up with, we're, I'm sure it influences you somehow, but the Tenenbaums sound nothing like Propaganda.
No.
Do you know what
no.
I mean?
No, I know. Yeah.
Well, and I was just thinking it's even funnier too, because Alex grew up with a sister who was our brother's age, and he was going through the same thing as a kid, but separately from us. Like, I mean, we grew up like what, 15 minutes from each other, but when you're eight, that's a really far distance and you go to different schools. But when we met, like we had a very similar musical trajectory for sure.
Well, and actually Alex and I met because I was wearing one of my older brother's band's shirts. Mm-hmm. And I think, I wish Alex was here because he could tell the story better than I could. But I think he like didn't understand why I had that shirt, because he was like, that's like a local band. Why would you have that shirt? And I was like, this is my brother's band. And I think he actually got mad at me or something because he was trying to be cool or something.
And he continues to get mad at you to this
day. But it is just so funny. Like, yeah, our older siblings were friends and hung out in the same circles. And then we became friends and like are still really good friends.
Are you from Ottawa?
We're from Winchester.
Like south of here, like 45 minutes. Yeah.
The not the GTA, the GOA.
The greater Ottawa area.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, it's funny. I was like, as I was listening to your podcast and looking at all the bands that were on there that have come recently, it's like, we've never really been in Ottawa collectively. Alex has never lived in Ottawa, has he?
No.
No. He lives in Renfrew now, or like Armprior, and I live in Perth, and then Kyle's still in Ottawa. So for a long time, I was in Kingston, and we kind of just would get together and play, but we've never really been like an actually localized band ever.
Do you consider yourself an Ottawa band?
I would say so. Yeah, like that's kind of the scene that we fell into when we were playing.
Your working city?
Yeah, when we were playing at our most, we would play Ottawa shows, would be our local shows for sure.
Cool.
We did play in Kingston quite a bit when you were going there too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So Tenenbaums, around, you said 2011, 2012, started kind of putting some stuff together, started jamming a bit. It's a three-piece now.
Yeah, always has.
Are you the core, you and Alex, always been like you're the same members for the last 11 years, 12 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. Something crazy. Yeah.
See, unknowable amount of time.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome. And you guys still get along. Well, you're brothers. You're not getting rid of each other. So
no.
I guess Alex has to put up with you two.
Yeah. That's the general consensus.
That's the story. Yeah.
Does he ever feel like overpowered?
I don't know about overpowered, but he gets annoyed, but actually not as much anymore. Whenever we were younger. And
we used to do a lot more like out of town shows and like spend the whole weekend together, and he would definitely spend some time without us.
I know. Do you remember your very first show in front of
like,
people,
like playing,
like an actual at the Tenenbaums? I mean, actually, as the three-piece band, actually playing your very first
gig. Show ever. Alex's cousin did like a comedy we booked a show, I think, and this was kind of like a thing that led into us being like, oh, we could do this as a practice. But his cousin was a comedian, or is a comedian, or filmmaker.
I don't know what he's doing still. I haven't seen him in a long
time. Shout out to Keith. He's a cool watermelon guy. Yeah, he's really cool. But he had us come like kind of do like almost like a late night show-esque thing where he had like this show he ran, and then we played at the end.
It was really cool. It was like a talk show.
And it was in Montreal, and so we felt really cool.
Yeah, we felt really cool.
Your first gig was on the road.
Yeah. And it was funny because it was at this bar. Actually, it's one of the Pooza bars. I can't remember what it's even called. But they ended up like closing the bar and letting us stay there after and hang out with all these people. And I was like just out of high school. It was pretty sweet. Mm-hmm. But I remember the show less than I remember the experience. I don't remember how the show actually went.
I don't remember
it
either. Yeah.
And I think we played the open mic at that bar out on, is it on Green Bank?
The Brass Monkey?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even remember that.
That was like probably in the early stages of the Brass Monkey. Well, maybe not even that. 12 years ago? It's been around for quite a while.
Yeah, they had like an open mic, but you could actually play like proper instruments like drums and stuff.
Gotcha.
I don't know if they still do that or if that was a one-time thing, but you know, most typical open mics, it's like acoustic or like maybe
yeah for sure, you go up there, you bring your own guitar. Maybe they have a house guitar or something. It's usually just kind of that acoustic act. Speaking of the Big Money Shot, that was a contest put on by Live 88.5, the radio station. Radio station used to have the Live Lounge downtown. They had their own bar, and they had an open mic called the Electric Frying Pan, which coincidentally I actually hosted for 2 years.
Well, I think that's actually what we did.
Yeah, maybe that's what we did.
But they had the full capacity to, you wanted to go up and jam with your band, you could. There was a kit. There was
See, I think that might have been what we did.
That might have been what we actually did. It was
because
the electric.
Do you know? Do you remember? This is probably a long shot, but what like night of the week that would have been?
It was like Thursdays.
Because I seem to remember that's. It wasn't a weeknight that we went because, like, we drove in from Winchester.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways,
but yeah, you could get it recorded, you could get it filmed.
Yeah, like I'm pretty sure that's what we did.
That's what we did.
And we played our two songs, and it was like a kind of, like I said, the band was kind of like Weezer-esque. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Cam, our buddy, is still playing a lot of music, and I was in a bunch of bands with him. And yeah, we always were like into like the Fat Records kind of stuff.
Sure.
So it had like that kind of punkiness to it, but it definitely was more like, I guess, what you would call indie rock or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really remember.
I think we only had like two songs.
Yeah.
Maybe three.
Okay. Did those two songs make the original EP called, or the self-titled EP in 2013?
No. So the songs we'd written with Cam, he took and he started a band called Old CD, which we actually ended up playing a lot of shows with over the years. And his songs got translated to that. The EP was stuff that I had done in like acoustically. And then we all recorded it at our parents' house. Our parents kind of had this like building that we'd set up. Our brother set it up as a studio and we turned it into kind of a jam room. And we recorded that EP all by ourselves.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't really remember. Like,
me neither.
I remember it was like 6 a.m. and we made Alex do another take, and or he might have asked to. I don't know. But we did it all in one night. And I don't really remember what songs are even on it, to be honest with you. I'm sure you go through that, but like stuff like, it's hard to listen to music you made like 10 years later.
Yeah. Well, if you're by yourself and it's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You'll put it on and you'll have like fuzzy memories and you'll. But I get it.
But I couldn't even tell you what songs are on it.
But it's part of the catalog. I did a little bit of research on you guys.
Yeah.
I tried my best.
Thank you.
You're doing great.
For what I can do. But I find a lot of local bands, it's not like you're sitting there adding to your Wikipedia page.
No, you know what I mean?
So I usually wait for the conversation, but I'll just give you some bullet points. So after the 2013 EP, which you don't even remember what songs are on, can you tell me something about Fish, the second EP
from July 2015? That one I remember. That one we recorded with Yogi, actually.
Oh, from Targ.
Yeah, we actually, when we were there, he was telling us about Targ. It hadn't opened yet. And he was talking to us about, there was like an old Targ. I think you guys went to a show on Main Street, I think. Dirty Nail or something.
I never got to go, but he was telling us all about it.
It was super cool. He had like a theremin we got to use and like a Space Echo. And we recorded the, whatever, five songs in like very short period of time and went back the next day and mixed them with them. Yogi's like by far the most efficient recording engineer I'd ever experienced. I don't know if that's just because he recognized it was punk songs and you could just press record and do your best, but it went well and we really liked it, and that was a great experience. And that was kind of like what I would consider our first one. That EP I kind of forgot existed.
Fish?
No, the self-titled one.
Oh, the
one.
Self-titled. Well, like I said, it's in the discography.
It's deep, man.
Yeah, it's a deep cut.
Yeah, you're testing us. But yeah, Fish, like our buddy Justin did the art and we got stickers and like, yeah, we actually got physical CDs. Yeah.
So the band was evolving.
That's when we sold out hardcore.
Yeah, totally.
We had merch.
I think Justin's done
all of our art since then.
Yeah, I think he has actually. Yeah.
Like, I'm busy selling out over here. What do you need? All right, so it must have been a good experience because no more than 4 months later, you released another EP.
Really?
And it was called We'll Always
Have
Millhouse.
And then
what,
like 10 years until the next one? Yeah, We'll Always Have Millhouse we did with Ty Black and his buddy
Isaac.
They were in a band called Pretty Little Death Machine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we recorded it in Westboro somewhere.
Yeah.
Once again, really fast, but it was good. Yeah, that one also, that was, I would say, like the one that we kind of had when we were doing most of our touring and stuff like around Ontario, little, not big tours or anything, but that was like the one that we were playing the most. And mm-hmm. it was our critically acclaimed album. Yeah, critically by like our five buddies.
That's the Tenenbaum's gold standard.
Yeah, exactly, it's all been downhill since then.
Never been better, never been worse, never been better.
Yeah. Exactly, anyway, man.
Sounds like it was a pretty big kind of writing spurt in that thing. I guess I find like when things start moving and everything like that, that was probably in a sweet spot when you look back on the band. Eh?
Yeah, I would say that like Fish, I find that something as like I wrote all the songs for this in general, but usually now we kind of jam on them and it's kind of more of a collaborative process. But with Fish, I seem to remember it being more of like songs that I had figured out.
Yeah.
And I think with Milhouse, that album was much more kind of like an actual sound and vibe to the band, not just like the songwriter songs that are going to be done in a punk style.
Right.
I would say that was like a real switch. But yeah, I guess I didn't realize those came out so close to each other.
Me neither.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm here for. You know
what I mean? Yeah, man.
Thank you. Thanks for documenting.
I find that's the way it goes with bands that start, because you need somebody, you need songs that come from somewhere. And I think bands that just get, or members that just get thrown together, it's hard to just kind of, like, you might be able to write songs on the fly, but I think it's always the case where someone says, I got this song, let's, you know.
Yeah.
And then it's like the next record is the one that's like, we wrote this as a band. That's kind of the make or break. It's like, is this going to work? And if it obviously worked, because that was 9 years ago.
So. Well, that's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy to think. I would say that is exactly like what I was trying to describe there. Like Fish was songs I had and I was like, we should be a band. Mm-hmm. And then we made that. And then it was like, okay, now I have these other songs, but they're not finished and we're a band now. So we can like jam on them. And it's more of like an, okay, let's see where this goes for Milhouse. And then from there on, it's been much more like that. Like, I don't know, what do we write, like 2 songs a year?
Yeah, maybe.
It's like, this is our second record, boys. We're all in.
Yeah, man.
It's make or break.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's play a song off one of the two first EPs.
Okay.
Pick a song.
What songs are on which?
Well, everybody's favorite is Community, but we don't even play that one anymore. So we do play Friends from Milhouse now. We brought it back from the grave. It's funny, when you've been a band this long, you forget about your own songs. Yeah, do Friends on We'll Always Have Milhouse. I think it's on there.
Okay. Well, I don't have to do anything because you just introduced it.
Hey, perfect. I hope it's on there.
All right. Yeah. Be right back. Ego and Vice.
Just outside, they honk their horn, they flash their lights. What's the use in trying? It's too goddamn cold tonight. You got that superficial way, always trying out things to say before you reach your moment, before you even reach your day. You keep trying to turn back time. Bye.
So you had a ton of music to kind of keep you busy when you were playing shows, playing, you know, doing live stuff. Because there was a big chunk of time between 2015 and the next release, which was March 2023. But as we always got to cover a little bit, in between those 8 years, there was probably about a three-year pause on everything.
Yes.
Yeah, totally.
So how did the band, again, you guys are brothers, so I guess it was that, but how did the band do during the pandemic?
Well, I mean, we were kind of always stop and go anyways, so it kind of, I don't remember if we did anything. I mean, during, like, there was that, the pandemic had phases. There was the phases where, like, you didn't see anybody. Mm. And during those phases, I was at home recording a lot, and Kyle was recording at home. We were sending each other back and forth.
Yeah, actually, we made a pretty funny Sheesh and I album was all influenced by board game music, because we'd play, like, board games online with our friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I guess we did that.
Yeah, Cousin Zala's Family Game Board Game Night, I think it's called, on Bandcamp.
Yeah.
There was actually also an EP that we didn't put on Spotify that's on Bandcamp that was, like, recorded as, like, a learning project for our buddy who was trying to learn how to record and was kind of practicing. So it was kind of like a bit of a rough, almost sounds like a demo tape, I guess you could say.
Okay.
But those songs aren't on any other albums. That would have been probably like 2018 or 2017.
So there is
somewhere in there. Yeah. There's a secret tape that you're not allowed to listen to.
Okay. Yeah, you have to know the secret knock.
Yeah,
it's badcamp.com is the password.
And if anyone, any purists out there, start fact checking anything, we're just going to put this out there really quick.
Yeah.
I said two EPs were released in 2015, but they're actually Fish was 2014,
yeah.
Millhouse was 2015. Just a little correction. Doesn't change the story, really. But
it, in your defense, on Spotify, it does say 2015.
Yeah, for Alex, if you're listening, you're in big trouble.
Yeah, we blame Alex because he's not here.
Yeah, hell's. I'm coming home and hell's coming with me.
But anyway. Yeah, there was a big break in there, and a big portion of that was pandemic for sure, but also was just kind of like we used to play a lot more shows and we used to do a lot more kind of like stuff, and I just find when you're doing stuff so we'd record more and we'd want to get stuff out, but there's definitely a big pause in there of productivity in general. We still played shows here and there, but even now we don't play as much nearly as we used to.
No I always like to ask that question with the pandemic. I found it could go either way. For anyone who's a songwriter, you all write songs together, were you more creative in that period or were you less creative?
I was definitely really creative in terms of songwriting, but not really Tenenbaum stuff. I was doing a lot of like sending stuff to people and having them kind of randomly add stuff to it. Or there was a thing called Demo Fest that took place that I did a demo for. That was kind of almost like a big, like, let's do something during the pandemic and record something and put it up.
That's with your other band, Precious Failures.
Oh, well, so I wasn't... So, hey, wow, this is going to be a long story. Oh. Sorry for the length of this. But Precious Failures did their own. That
Demo
was
Fest.
How they started.
Oh,
I did one of just, like, songs I made up on the spot
and
put up. And then later on, when Precious Failures decided they were actually going to do a band, that's when I joined. So I'm not on that demo.
Oh, okay. I heard Demo Fest, and I hadn't heard what that was before, so I thought I just completed the triangle.
Well, you kind of did.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think it was a Montreal thing. I forget who exactly organized it, but it was like a kind of... there's a thing called the Record Production Month Challenge, RPM Challenge, that happens every year. I actually just did it this year. And you try to record a EP, a single, whatever you want in February. And it's kind of like February sucks, why not try to do something in it?
Yeah.
And I've done that a few years, and this was kind of the similar thing. It was like a big group of people trying to record music during the pandemic, posted onto the Demo Fest Bandcamp or whatever. I think there's like 100 albums or something. But yeah, so I did a lot of recording at home, and I learned a lot about recording, but I wouldn't say we were doing much Tenenbaum stuff. But then our most recent stuff that's just about to come out / is kind of coming out as singles. We recorded ourselves in the same setup that I'd kind of learned how to use.
Okay.
So I guess technically it did influence Tenenbaums.
Yeah, and I'm actually thinking that we were doing some of that recording during COVID, because I'm kind of remembering. Yeah, I think we did.
Yeah, actually, it's kind of funny. You kind of forget how long that was, but there was a period of time where it was like, if you weren't sick, you could go hang out with people.
Yeah.
And that was, I think, like when we were recording the Tenenbaum stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the bottom of my list here, and was the album that you were talking about that was released in between that time, was that the God Damn It, You Gotta Be Kind?
Yeah,
I think so.
Okay,
yeah.
So it was 2020? At the bottom. I guess I saw it afterwards.
Yeah.
So there it is.
That would have been, okay, actually, you know what? That was recorded, and we were kind of sitting on it, and we decided we were going to do like a release and everything, and then COVID, so we just put it out. So that would make sense, 2020.
Okay, yeah, that should be right there. That's why it looks like there's such a big gap there.
Well, but I don't, again, I think that that's not on Spotify.
No, I think it's only on Bandcamp. It might be on Spotify.
That I founded that on Spotify.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Jeez,
I didn't check Bandcamp.
Okay. Yeah.
No. Anyway,
we clearly know a lot about our music.
Yeah. We're the great guys to have on a podcast.
It's like if you listen to this podcast backwards, it'll all make sense. Okay, so now we're into kind of modern times. Band is going strong. Pandemic is in the rear view. That stage of the pandemic is in the rear view. Who knows what the future holds? But you start writing and releasing music again as singles, you said. Speak Three.
Speak Ill of the Academy.
Oh, I screwed it up.
Yeah, that's actually funny. I guess you could read it like that, eh? Because ILL. Yeah, but Speak Ill of the Academy Part 2 is kind of a part... It's not really a part 2, actually, of... Oh, this is very convoluted. We have a song called Speak Ill of the Academy, which is one of the only songs that we actually wrote like fully together. Mm-hmm. We wrote it at my old house over the course of a night, and it started off with a bass line, and it kind of turned into a song, and then it became a Tenenbaum song. It's on God Damn It, You Gotta Be Kind. But Speak Ill of the Academy Part 2 is kind of part 2 of the first song on this album, but for some reason it reminds me of that other one, so I called it that. Yeah, as confusing as that sounds, it does make sense in my head. But
and it totally fits into this entire segment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's so, just all very confusing.
Yeah. Naming songs has not always been like a thing that I do for other people as much as for myself, and sometimes it's like a total inside joke with myself.
Yeah.
Sometimes it goes well.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll say that this is the only podcast I've recorded ever in the 7 years I've been doing it where you're going to have to listen to the middle section twice. Yeah. Go back and listen to that part again. I swear it all the dots connect. I promise.
It's a lot easier to explain to myself than it is to someone else.
Yeah. And you said you write like 2 songs a year now. Is it just because you're busy, you got other projects going on, or is it just you just...
Yeah, a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. I mean, so Kyle and I play in a band together called Duck Toys. That's just like an improv project that's just guitar looping and some synths and stuff. Mm-hmm. We were just recording yesterday? 2 days ago?
2 days ago.
At my house. And that's something that we kind of started doing. And then also we've done some folky stuff where it's songs I've written that are totally different with, like, we had a guy playing pedal steel at one point, and we're going to hopefully do that again, and Alex is going to play some drums on it. And then Kyle plays in like 100 bands. Much different than the Rich Chris style, as heard on your previous podcast, plug episode 129, I think it was.
129.
Rich Chris, good guy. But yeah, Kyle does music like professionally. I mean, he can tell you about that.
Wow.
And then we also live far away from each other. So yeah, I guess it's a little bit of everything. I would say that I write more than 2 songs a year, but Tenenbaums probably produce like 2 that are actually recorded and ready to go in a year.
Cool.
2 to 3.
Yeah.
We're sitting on a few cool ones right now. They're in drop D, so
yeah.
Look
so
out.
It takes a while to tune down.
Yeah, a couple years.
How do you feel about like new material? Would you be happy if Tenenbaums never recorded another song and you just played off your back catalog, or do you feel like a band should always be writing new stuff?
Especially
when you're in so many other projects. Like,
yeah, I think we just will, because it's what we just do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I would say that, like, to be honest with you, I would be happy if all we did was record songs. We don't really play much anymore live, but we do get together and jam and like think of new ideas and record a lot on our own now.
Mm.
And I think that honestly all 3 of us are probably just as happy doing that as we are playing a show.
Mm-hmm.
Playing shows is obviously fun.
Yeah, I think we did go through a phase maybe around 2015 or whatever where we were playing well. Alex and I were in another band at the same time as well, and we were playing like almost every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Like you know, not just in Ottawa, although sometimes it felt like it was just in Ottawa, but I think we kind of just got used to the whole like playing show, which is really fun and we still really do like doing. But I know Alex was talking about like he wants to do something that's like play a sort of a space that we haven't kind of played before, like a skate park or something like. Well, actually, we did play a skate park.
At one yeah, time.
But
like a house show or like anything.
Yeah,
like
something
that.
That it's like, I don't know.
Have you ever heard of The Womb?
That's
yeah, well,
one Alex keeps talking
about. Yeah. We were talking about maybe releasing or.
Yeah.
We haven't reached out to them, so.
really good friend, Sarah Gott, she is the proprietor.
Yeah.
She was in Goat for about 3 years.
Oh,
like,
okay.
I've known
cool,
her for
cool.
I've known her forever. She's in that band Wet for Days.
Yeah. And I've seen The Womb. I've seen yeah. it like popping up. But Alex was saying like, maybe instead of releasing the show or releasing the album as like a big release at like a big bar, it might be more fun to do it at a smaller space that like, even if not everybody who wants to come can fit in there, at least it'll be like a packed fun show in a space that's a little different.
Yeah. And that's I'm super proud of that place because she's a friend of mine and what she's done and how much she's giving back to like, she does all kinds of stuff there. Like she just had like a screen
printing thing. Yeah. And see, I think
demonstration,
that we
like,
all
that's
sort
an awesome
of,
spot.
We think that it's cool that they do other stuff. That's not just like,
well, she calls it a community center rather than a venue, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So that also has live music. So
some of the best shows we've played have been like Alex had like a big New Year's Eve party one time. Positive Charge actually played with us. And like that was super fun. Or like our friend like would have a house show and it would be like, you know, five friend bands and it'd be more like a party and everyone would play. And that was kind of like, I think nearing the end of when we were playing all the time, that it was like those shows started to become more fun because there was a little bit less like, well, first of all, you weren't spending all your money at a bar,
but
like just being in a bar, the same kind of, even if the bar is different, it feels the same all the time. But when you're at a house, it can be so much more exciting and fun.
I really, really like the house shows, especially being in punk rock bands. There's always like the Ask a Punk shows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'd always look forward to it when we got kind of asked to do it or I was told that we were doing it, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Because you look forward to it because it's kind of intimate and it's just a cool vibe, right? And you're right.
Totally.
The bar scene can get a little old.
Yeah.
You
and
know?
Just like as you get older, I think it would for most people.
Yeah. Like there's still some really cool venues like in the city. It's just sometimes you just, I'm not into this, you know?
Totally.
Anyway, but that's the way she goes, right?
Yeah.
And I do want to say like we still like playing those shows and
of
stuff
course.
Like that. It's just like, I think we just put more thought into what we are going to do as opposed to saying yes to everything.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. We used to play like any show we got asked to play, which was also really fun.
Yeah. And at the time it made sense.
It was a young man's game, maybe.
Yeah. Because
being in a band, like it is performance art.
Yeah.
Like, so totally. It's not just going on a stage and like playing for a bunch of drunk people. You can present it any way you want. And sometimes the presentation you have in your head doesn't fit with the four walls of some stinky, sticky floor bar. Not to say any of those things are the downtown bars in Ottawa. I'm just saying in general, right?
We do a lot of talking in our shows too, so it's always nice in a house show because like people are actually like there to listen to you. At a big show at a bar, it kind of feels like sometimes you're just like yelling into the void.
Well,
and sometimes you are because they're like, why the hell are you still talking? Play a song. And
that's my problem. But 40% of the people aren't there to see the band, right?
Exactly.
They're just there to shoot the shit with their friends. Which is
also
noise,
cool,
right?
So, I guess.
Hey,
but,
man, you can do what you want. It's the nightlife. But I get what you're coming from, and I agree with that. I think it's cool. And if this is all leading to promote The Womb a little bit more or places like The Womb.
Exactly.
Support local. Even when it's super DIY local like that.
Yeah. And
that's
I think
always
like,
my goal.
It is cool to see places like Saw though still. Like, I mean, Saw's gone through many, since I was a kid, like many variations of like, I remember it being kind of like bigger shows at one point, then it was like just an art space and then it was like nothing for a long time. And it's cool that they're back doing shows, but there's a lot of venues in Ottawa like Pressed that are gone or like, have come and gone.
Yeah.
And Sinkhole was a really cool one. Your Sinkhole. But like, it's cool to see that there is still lots of places like Targ and those places to play.
Yeah.
But
and go to shows too.
Yeah. But it is sweet to see a place like The Womb doing that kind of stuff too.
Me and Rich just had the conversation about Saw when he was on the podcast last week. It's like, I was at Club Saw. Is it called Club Saw? He's like, I think it's Saw Center
or Saw Gallery?
Saw,
I think
Gallery?
It's Saw Gallery.
Like we couldn't.
Yeah.
I actually said that. I've said I've been through so many iterations or like levels of Saw. I don't even know what to call it.
Totally.
Yeah,
no, it's like the Corral Center or whatever it's called.
That's what I said too.
Yeah, that's right.
I was like, they still call it the Corral Center.
Yeah, me too. What
Palladium
is it called?
It's the Canadian
Tire
Center.
Oh, okay, right.
But yeah, I think Ottawa actually does have a lot of like vastly different places to play. Like, I mean, the Rainbow mm-hmm. versus Avant-Garde versus Targ mm-hmm. versus somewhere like the Womb. It's pretty, there's quite a few choices, but
yeah, it definitely has its pillars. Like what holds the city up, like the Rainbow and Saw and those kind of places. But yeah, there's other places. There used to be lots of places to play in Ottawa, but unfortunately it's shrunken a little bit, but the key ones are still there. I'm still kind of bummed about Zaphod's.
Yeah.
Like, but that's fine. Yeah, the reason I ask about that is that I guess there's some people that like to record music and some people that love to play music. And I used to be full on stage. I loved being on stage. I loved performing. I loved the energy and everything about it. And now I'm really more into the recording of stuff. I love here, even when I'm recording, like I just recorded a goat record, and I actually went to my friend's studio and we did it, and I still love sitting there, even though I've heard it 1,000 times demoed on my stuff. Mm-hmm. I love sitting there and listening to like pre-mixed tracking and just being there, it is, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
just I love the process of creating music.
Yeah,
yeah, totally.
It's almost as exciting, if not more exciting, than jumping on stage sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. And since we've started recording ourselves, it's been really fun because we can kind of mess around with it and we can add stuff to it and do overdubs and stuff. I would say I still enjoy playing the shows, but getting to the shows and hyping myself up to get there takes a lot more. I used to be like all week I'd be like, oh man, I can't wait for the show, and now I'm kind of more like, okay, we got this show coming. But once I get there, I'm excited yeah. for it. But yeah. yeah, it's a little bit harder to get up on the stage and
I agree.
Be excited, but once you're doing it, it's always fun.
Yeah, I have one of those things, like, before the shows, I do some acoustic stuff now, and I'm in another band called the Riptides and stuff, but...
Oh, you're in the Riptides?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
We can talk about that afterwards, though.
Fair.
Yeah, where it's like, what you said, where you're just kind of like, oh, yeah, that show, okay, this can be fun, and then when you're at the show, I'm like, what am I even doing here? Like, why am I doing this? Why do I still do this?
Yeah, yeah.
Then I get up, and I'm great.
Yeah,
you
know, exactly. Yeah,
but you have that moment, but I quit drinking 2.5 years ago, and that was a big part of the whole social thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And now it's like I don't even like being in the
yeah.
space.
I can imagine it would be hard. Yeah.
yeah, yeah. So anyway, it's not being in the bar; it's being around.
Yeah,
as people get drunker.
Yeah,
then it's like that. Okay, it's time for me to go because I. Yeah. This is not.
It's
working
kind of
anymore.
Funny. Like, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's just, you know, sometimes you end up being like the sober driver or whatever.
No.
And it totally turns into like a weird like, I don't know how to describe it, but almost like you're at like a Legion or like the one bar in town that has alcohol, and it just like everything seems so, it's like when you go in a bar where the lights are on. Yeah. You know what I mean? And you're like, oh, this is just this normal four walls.
It's
like,
just a room.
Yeah, this is just a room. Why does it seem so different whenever... But anyways.
Yes,
yeah.
it's a very different... When you're not in the mix of it all,
yeah,
it's very different observing it, right?
Totally.
Yeah,
yeah.
For sure.
And exactly.
Those endless conversations that someone... They've told you the same thing 4 times and yeah. they're like kind of spitting on you yeah, and yeah. it's just like, that was me.
Yeah.
Those were good times.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
I used to
not
spit
so much
on
anymore.
My buddies.
Yeah. Not so much anymore. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay, so why don't we play one of the newer songs? Because we have songs from Speak Ill of the Academy Part 2. We have two more singles that came out April 5th and April 28th of 2023. Classical Axe.
Classical Ass.
Classical Ass. Damn it. God.
Man, yeah, your research is good, but your writing is poor.
I'm falling apart here. I'm falling apart. It's all good. It all comes out in the wash, though, my friends.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
yeah.
we have the latest, I guess the latest.
I don't know what order they came out, but Fun and Fancy Free, yeah.
Fun
so
and Fancy Free.
Those three singles are going to be on an EP that's all planned and ready to go. We don't know when we're going to release it. But yeah, I guess which one do you want to hear?
Oh, I...
Do you even know which one is which?
I...
There's kind of a running gag that Kyle doesn't know the names of any of the songs. It's not really a gag as much as it's just true. Do Classical Ass. It's a nice slow burn.
That's the one that I know what it is. And yeah. it kind of relates to what we
yeah,
were
Yeah, actually, it's
about.
Kind of all about growing up in Winchester and hanging out with people who are drunks and being one.
Cool. What a great segue then.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
All right. This is Classical Ass by the Tenenbaums. This is Ego and Vice. Thank you.
I can tell them drinking the look on your face, and I know what you're thinking. It's always the same, ain't it? There it is. Trying so hard, you're dropping your cigarettes. Don't you wanna change? You tell me it's different, it looks just the same. No, I was once like them.
Okay, so we're kind of getting long on time here. What do the Tenenbaums have coming up? What's going on?
Oh man!
Well, that album will come out eventually.
Yeah, we're thinking sometime in this year. That's about all we can say for now.
I get it. I get it. I know how that works.
Yeah,
absolutely. Any shows? Any shows coming up in the next little while? Or you just
No.
It's too bad you had to miss that other one.
Yeah, we had that one, and then we're thinking about a release show at some point soon. And if we got asked to do something cool, we might do it. But as of now, nothing really, no.
Cool. Right on. All right. So did we miss anything about the band that is super pressing that you'd like to talk about?
Nothing about the band
I don't think.
No.
All right. I like that. That's cool. You know, you can't take yourselves too seriously. It's all for fun.
We
folks.
Do not.
Okay. So I have a game, or Ego and Vice. Whenever someone comes on Ego and Vice, we play a game. It's called 13 Questions with the Band. I always ask the consent of the band prior to partaking in the game. Do I have the consent of the Tenenbaums?
2/3.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
All right, Alex, this one's for you. Time for 13 questions with the band. Yes, this segment's back again. It's called 13 questions, but I only asked 6, maybe 5. Okay, we're back. Okay, this is 13 questions with the band. First question. What is the first record, tape, or CD you ever bought with your own money? And each of you can answer.
I remember that. I don't know who bought it, but one of us bought Weezer's Blue album. And then we both really liked it. I think we got a Foo Fighters album the same day.
Yeah.
I think you
But that might have been, like, we would have been pretty young. I
with
don't know
our
if that would have
money?
Been, like, our own money.
Yeah. I remember buying the Clash's first album,
yeah.
The green one.
Mm. I was thinking, I seem to remember a time, and you got that. I think I got a Black Sabbath
album. Yeah. That sounds about right.
Hilarious. Yeah.
the metal and the punk direction. Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid. I don't usually answer the questions, so I might.
Oh, you can. We're missing Alex.
I might edit this out. Yeah, I'll pretend I'm Alex. I remember when I was young, my sister had a Bon Jovi Slippery When Wet record.
Okay.
And I used to listen to it all the time, and my mom ended up buying me like a Bon Jovi Slippery When Wet cassette. And there was like two in the house.
Just in case you both hilarious. Needed it.
So I think that
Well, actually, now that you mention it, the Black Sabbath album I bought would have been Paranoid, and we definitely had that record. So
yeah.
I
did the same thing.
Yeah.
Cool. It's amazing the older I get, though, and it's nice to have. I've actually had guests on where I ask them that question, and they're like, I don't know. I've never bought music before.
Oh,
like
man,
a physical copy.
Man. I still buy CDs.
And
HMV,
I'm like,
baby.
And I'm just like, oh, God.
Yeah.
I know. It sucks. It sucks. I wish that...
Yeah, it kind of changes the way you listen to music for sure. Yeah. But that's a whole other conversation.
It's amazing how fast things just move on. Anyway. Okay. Next question with 13 questions with the Tenenbaums is, what is your desert island record? If you're stranded on a desert island and you only had one record to listen to for the next, I don't know, 10 years.
I'd say a Weaker Than's album. I don't know which one. I'd have to pick one. Maybe Left and Leaving, I guess.
I don't know. Maybe this is going to be, there's Ahmad Jamal is a jazz piano player, Ahmad Jamal Trio live at Pershing, I think it's called. I guess I would pick that right now, but I don't know.
You know what? That reminds me now. We didn't talk about your professional music playing.
Yep.
He's a jazz man.
Yeah. I mean, there's not too much to say.
Just mostly he's a jazz man.
I play a lot of styles of music. Jazz is one of them. I play Celtic music too. I don't know. There's not a lot to... sorry, that was my fault. I was petting him.
That's okay.
I don't know. There's not a lot to say, and the podcast is...
Okay. Anyway, I just didn't want it to go unappreciated.
No, yeah. Hey, that's no problem.
Okay.
He's
a jazzman.
Yes,
yeah, he is.
I am.
Okay. Very good.
But that's a really good album if anyone wants to expand their listening into the jazz area. It's really listenable.
Especially on a desert island.
Yeah, exactly. It is. Well, that's why I'm thinking. It's like I would never get sick of it. So it's a good album.
That's a new one for this question. So
yeah,
thank
you.
Thank
no problem.
Thank
no
you
problem.
Very much. Thank you. Thank you for... injecting a little maturity into the podcast.
Sure, yeah.
Appreciate that. Okay, next question is, what should we do here? Oh, what was the first live concert you ever saw?
Well, I was just talking to our mom about this, and she thought that I might be wrong, and it's hard to remember, but I remember our older sister's ex-boyfriend took us to see Metallica.
Oh, yeah.
With our buddy Todd.
Yeah.
And it was during the St. Anger years. During Metallica's greatest time.
It was a weird experience because I don't even think we were particularly into Metallica. I think
his boyfriend
was more into it than us. But
Godsmack opened.
Yeah.
They're a terrible band.
Yeah.
Well, you go for the presentation, so it's like, wow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, they played on like a circular stage in the middle of the...
I think we might have went to Alice Cooper.
Okay, that
because
might
I think
be what
there
mom
was a thing
about.
Where mom was like, that was one of the first shows she went to.
Yeah, she couldn't remember what it was, but she said she took us to a concert before that. That's probably what it was.
I seem to remember something like that, maybe, yeah.
So either Alice Cooper or Metallica, two of the best bands that have ever been.
Something very typical of the first show, yeah.
Awesome. Well, you know, at least you got the whole experience of it.
And at least we're together, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So there's only one answer.
And those were probably pretty big shows. Spectacle shows. So
But now that because Alex isn't here, I'm pretty sure that Alex, I don't think we ever saw our brother's band from whenever he was in high school, which is a band called Minnesota Fats, but I know Alex did, so I'm guessing that was probably one of his first shows that he
yeah that
would have
been cool.
Yeah,
cool. All right, next question. Where am I here? If you had a time machine and you could go back in time to one musical event, what would it be?
You know, I'm going to have to go back to the first album. I always think it would have been cool to see The Clash. I would have to say that that's a band that consistently, when I listen to them, I'm like, they would, and you see videos and stuff, they look like they were pretty sweet live too.
Clash at Wembley Stadium?
Anywhere. I mean, I guess if I had the time machine, I could pick, so sure.
Cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I don't really know. Man, I don't know.
Just say same.
Same, yeah. The
Elliot
same.
Smith would be cool to see too.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'll pick you. You'll go to The Clash. I'll go to Elliot
Smith.
Sure.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, next question. If the Tenenbaums could open for any band, who would you like to open for?
There's this band called Goat. That would be really cool.
Yeah.
Hey, I know a guy.
Do you know a guy?
At the womb?
Yeah.
Anyone at the womb's listening?
Hey, we couldn't remember. Maybe this happened.
Yeah.
Actually, to answer your question, there's no one I'd rather open for than who I've already opened for. Goat. No, I honestly don't know. I feel like maybe... I don't know. I always have found that it's more fun to open for like your buddies or like play with your buddies than to open for like bigger bands. Cause a lot of bigger bands that are touring, it's just kind of another stop on their tour. But
yeah,
when your buddy comes in from Toronto or something and you play with them, that's always a good time. So maybe Garbage Face would be nice to open for Carl, our best friend from Peterborough.
Yeah.
Let's go with Garbage Face.
I like that answer. it's not always about the money, the Ticketmaster selling, blasting. Anyway, I appreciate that answer, actually. Support the local, my friends. Even the Torontonians.
Well, he's from Peterborough, and he's proud of it. So
yeah. I respect Peterborough. I've played Peterborough many times. I have friends in Peterborough.
Yeah, doesn't everybody? It's just a beautiful place.
It's a great place.
Yeah, it's like the nucleus of Canada, anyway. Where Thunder Bay is the anus of Canada. Peterborough is the heartbeat. Okay, let's say that. If you could have a drink or a meal, I guess, with any musician or anybody, let's say that. If you could have a drink or a meal with anybody, alive or dead, who would it be? Like a inspiration or a, I won't say hero, but someone who inspires you.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe Garbage Face again. It's been a while. Now he's on my mind. I guess you're thinking historical figure.
You can be anybody you want.
You take this one.
Oh, I don't know. Someone who's a good cook or something?
Yeah.
Probably be a good
idea. Anthony Bourdain, I guess?
Was he
a good cook?
I don't know. He knows good food.
No, he was a great chef. Okay. You ever read his book?
No.
Oh, it's amazing.
I'd
crazy
assume...
stories. What a life.
Yeah, I know. That's
Kitchen Confidential, great. If you ever find it.
Yeah, I've heard.
It's an easy read, but it's just like, what? This couldn't have happened.
Okay, crazy. Yeah. So maybe, yeah,
yeah,
sure.
Him. And the food would probably be just
amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
There we go.
Okay, now, the reason I call this 13 questions with the band is not because there's 13 questions. It's because I have 13 questions and I choose from them. So we'd be here all night if I asked you all 13. So this is the last question.
Especially how long it takes us to answer
your
questions.
This is the thought provoking. Yeah, we're going speed
we
round.
We can't even answer any of them.
We're going speed round and all of a sudden we find out he's a Jasmine.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? He's playing too many notes.
The final question that I ask at the end of 13 questions with the band is, who are the Tenenbaums?
Oh, like as people?
I don't know. You take that any way you want.
Well, we're a band. That's one thing. No, we've been playing music together since like we were kids. So yeah, it's kind of funny. Alex and I were just talking about, I don't even remember this, but Alex told me that at one point he told me he was going to quit the band because we were playing a bunch of shows and I guess I wasn't taking it very seriously. And I was like, well, if you quit, we're just not going to be a band anymore. And he was like, oh, okay, I guess I won't quit then.
So I guess, even remember that.
No, I don't remember it. So that's a sign of he probably was right. I probably wasn't taking it very seriously. But yeah, so I guess we're a band and we probably always will be.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we don't do anything.
It's cool to see how it changes and progresses over time.
Yeah, and maybe we'll release this album.
I think we're going to do that.
We should call it Who Are the Tenenbaums.
See? Anyway, thank you so much for being on Ego and Vice. It was a good conversation. I really enjoyed myself.
Us too.
Yeah, man. Thank you for having us.
Hey, anytime. I wish you nothing but the best in the future.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And
you too.
If you're going to stay together forever, I'll check you like 20 years down the road and see how many... two-year songs you have.
Yeah.
Well, by the time we're 95, we should have an album ready.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think so. And you should get Alex on sometime. I'm sure.
Yeah, have Alex on by himself. He'll probably be a much more interesting podcast.
That's all right. All right. Well, thanks again, and all the best.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
So that is the end of episode 130. I'd really like to thank the dudes from the Tenenbaums for coming down to Southage Studio, sitting down, having a fun conversation. Really, really nice guys. And check them out, because definitely worth your time. If you want to check out Ego and Vice, or if you want to talk to me, you can always reach me at egoandvice@gmail.com. If you want to listen to the podcast, the best place to start is the website, egoandvicepodcast.com. It is the HQ. It is the hub. It is the home base. It is my fortress of solitude. It will have a link to anywhere you need to go, anywhere you've been, and anywhere you currently are. Remember, wherever you go, there you are. Anyway, that's it. We'll see you next week. Bye.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.